faith, that's the vulnerability of people. Gift of God without measure, as we travel together, my Bible and I can tell you that when I go to fellowship, when I go to fellowship, I do the speaking for my family. I'm not going to speak to you. You have to take the book. Brimstone Church. I've been raised in Sunday school, and I had very good Sunday school teachers to sign out of school. I was one of my first Sunday school teachers in 100 years. The minister was actually the one that lady got out of my family in the church in Buffalo. And then our next teacher was Miss Gray, and I can go through some books. So the Sunday school teachers I had up until I was 11, and then we lived in the Tonus. I didn't live in the Tonus. It was a tough place to live in the Tonus. And all wonderful teachers, good pastors, and teachers. Never forget about your brother's spirit, Bible survey. Dinner. Old Testament survey. First night. And that's the first class of the time that we're looking at the first class. After the first class, I said, I don't know. I really felt that way. Not just brother's spirit, but many of the other professors out there. Thought that young pastor said, what was what am I going to preach? And then now, for being in the ministry, I'm like, by the 30 years, I said, man, I'm not going to preach. I'm not going to get all this preaching. And there's so much stuff that you don't need to study. So much to preach. The Bible is just amazing. It is the greatest book on earth. It really is. And so tonight, as we look at that, we think about Colossians, we think about Christ, that the Bible, it tells us of Christ, it is good. Christ is learning about him is living. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 2. For by him were all things created. By who? Christ. By Christ were all things created. That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things are created by him. He is above, he is before. By him all things are created. He is the heavenly body of the church, who is beginning the firstborn to the dead, that in all things he might have his being in. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness come. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say whether they be things in earth or in heaven. But Henry Moore, in my opinion, is going to be a good reason to know more than the things that I believe it is the best thing I've done. Get the letter of this. Henry Moore said that this passage, this is the greatest possible logical passage. So we get to the passage of the cover, and it really is all about it. All about it. Paul is making that argument here about how they are saying that Christ is above them. Christ is above them. Christ is above them. So it's good. Let me follow it and do things for them. Look at the chart. He says there that there's many, you think about treasure hunting Christianity, which is really the most important thing. And it really does fit the book because you really are delving in to find that uncovering, discovering the two riches of Christ. That word discovering, you think about digging into the Bible and finding Jesus there. You go back to that saying that we used years ago that you know, the woman said that it's been about him. The book of Jesus was 2 years ago. The first Bible that was written was that the glory of the Lord God. You use that phrase, and the Father God looks into the Word of God, the Son of God, the Son of God, the Word of God, and the beginning of God. As you look in the Bible, you see Jesus Christ sitting on earth. And the Holy Spirit reveals him. Reveals him to us. And we are changed by the Spirit of God in the beginning of God. By the way, that's our goal. We want to be changed. In Romans chapter 8 says that we are conformed to the Spirit. So every page leads to God. Every page. Every page of the Bible, we can find it is discovering the two riches. Discovering the two. Have you read your Bible and maybe read the same text you learned about 23, 24, 25? All of a sudden you read your brain and you're in the system. Isn't that amazing? Every time that happens to me, I'm like, I'm so glad the Bible is living, breathing, breathing, and the Holy Spirit is still touching my heart and giving me something that isn't even recently, just look at that next sentence. The countering and admonition of Jewish legalism. So Paul is writing the church to Colossians for a reason. The church of Colossians has an issue. And the issue is that Paul's teaching the teaching, really teaching, of course, teaching their doctrine. But here what was happening was, how do I things we have in common. And the last chapter is how we walk with him. The last three chapters of the most of his books are put together that way. Doctrinal, teaching, and then the ethical. So we want to be careful even as teachers. And the teachers are saying, we want to be careful to bring in the teaching and the message to do the ethical. And that the students and the engineers, whomever may be, walk away with something. Again, doctrine is the tool of the Christian, the tool of the Christian, the tools that God has given us, the doctrine, the teaching of Christ, and the Holy Spirit is going to be empowered. What I'm trying to say by that is remembering that when we're teaching, that we are simply the teacher, the Holy Spirit has to put in us. When we're leading somebody to teach, and we're leading somebody to the doctrine, we simply all the time to give them the doctrine, and help them show them the tools and see which way possible to not, you know, add much anything in there that wouldn't be what we should do. But once we give a clear presentation of gospel, it is not our job to bring in the Lord, it's the Holy Spirit to do it. The Holy Spirit gives us understanding. He's the one that can get to that. We don't ever walk away from a situation where you've got to think about yourself, and you've got to give the gospel to somebody and you get to come. Remember, the Holy Spirit is each. One waters, right? One sows the seed, one waters, and God gives it. So you never know who's going to fall after you. And in fact, I would encourage you to be careful not to assume that. If you have given the gospel to you by drawing the net too hard, by trying to be a salesman and pulling the net too hard, give them the gospel, give it to them, and yet remember the God gives them. Give the opportunity for them to give you the example of the gospel. I got to witness to a guy in Colorado a couple years ago. And I was trying to witness to him. And immediately within just a few minutes, he began to talk about the name of the worship. He was a Southern Baptist. He said that everything that that Southern Baptist told him, he was supposed to witness to him. All he had ever done was all the things he did. He was very interesting. He was a good place in Colorado. And just laid into him about all of his things. I'm not saying he shouldn't tell somebody who was sinner, but he was just saying that Holy Spirit again is the one who gives the understanding. The next line there that we will up the outline for the theme of each chapter. The theme of the first chapter is the exaltation of Christ. The exaltation of Christ. Christ should be in our thinking. You think about it throughout the day. Do you ever think about it? If you start your day off by reading the Bible, the exaltation of Christ. The next one you see there, chapter 3, is the exaltation of Christianity. It says, Christ is preeminent. Christ is preeminent, and therefore is above all the other religions. He is above everything. He draws to Christianity above the other. If Christ is so fantastic, then Christianity must be. If Christ is, chapter 1, we have Christ is fantastic, and therefore Christianity must be. Yet he is saying, there is no other religion in life. There is no other belief in life. All their beliefs are connected to work. Do this and you'll earn this. Do this and you'll have this. That's what all the religions are seven rules. Most of them are all the religions are seven rules. Then the next verse is also exaltation of Christians. Exaltation of Christians. And therefore, because of what we know about Jesus, that Christianity is superior, it is above, it is fantastic, exaltation of Christ, and it is there you see the recognition of the preeminence of Christ. Notice it says recognition and not make. Sometimes we have ladies say something like that. Understand that we ought to make Christ. He's already saved. Almost like what we like him. He is above all. And then, in chapter 1, we see not only the preeminence of Christ, but we see the image of the invisible God. The image of the invisible God. We're going to read chapter 1 in this moment. Okay. The image of the invisible God. And Jesus Christ is God's image. And then we see he's the firstborn of every creature. This is not talking about that he was born, as in we are born, but he reigns. He is above all. Notice it says he's the beginning. He's the beginning. Wasn't he? In the beginning was the Word. Was the God was it? He is the firstborn from the dead. He is everything. You notice the next section. By him and for him were all things created. So all things were created by God. There's that moment ago. All things were created by him. Notice also from John. John tells us that all things were created by him. The Word. You were there on day one, and you heard the voice say, "Let there be light." That voice is Jesus. Take a look at this. Jesus is the primary person in the Godhead. He is the primary person in the Godhead that brought about the creation. Then again, not only was it by him, but it was for him. All things were created by him. And then by him all things consist. And we've used this verse many times, and I've heard it a thousand times, but we're consisting in the truth. In other words, he is the one holding it all together. Christ is not only the creator of the universe, but he is the spirit of it. It is his power that holds it all together. We know this also from Acts chapter 17, where again, Paul on Mars Hill, there in the Jesus, he begins to preach to those Christians. Says to them that in Christ, in him, we live and move and have everything. In Christ, in him, in God. In other words, without him, we have nothing. Without him, we have no life. Without him, we don't have air to breathe. And then, next, he is the head over the church. Head over the church. And again, when we talk about the church, we're not talking about the universal and the church. We're talking about the church. He is the head of the church of God. He is the head of the church of God. He is the head of the church. And then next, reconciler of all things. Reconciler of all things. We understand that Jesus Christ is the bridge. The bridge of God and man. He is the one who brought God and man. And he's the one who brought God and man back. Reconcile God and man. The great reconciliation. I do want to clarify something when you talk about reconciliation. That God never moved. It's Adam's fault. God doesn't move. Jesus Christ is the one who breathes the God. Jesus is the one who breathes the God. He's the part of God that breathes the God. Ruler. He gives them by whatever part. Dying, shedding his blood for us, and rising again. But understand that God doesn't move. Because God is. I can already tell that I'm going to get you all this. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Let's see what he wrote here. Who also declares unto us your love and the truth. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not seek to pray for you. We would love to get on Paul's prayer list. Nearly every epistle he writes is about faith. He has a strong prayer list. I mean, and he says this, here's his prayer. That ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And that ye might walk worthy of the Lord into all peace. Being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, God displayed his power, and to all patience and long-suffering with patience, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be protected from the presence of the saints in life. There's a few words in here I just want to point out that you use. He talks about wisdom, he talks about the saints in life. He is addressing already the false mysticism and the false religion. He talks about mystery. You'll see that word used for mystery and life and again, knowledge and wisdom. Because these are words that these false religions are using. So he's just using the fact that he's saying to them that God is the one who is the God is the one who is the one. Right? He's addressing that already. So we wouldn't understand that because he's just using those words. So he's going to purchase the idea of God. Oh, God, put that in the mind. Giving thanks to the Father again, verse 13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, whom we have against him through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? The firstborn of every creature. And again, the cosmological concept. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are earth, visible and invisible, that are in the sun, the stars, the moon, the stars, the powers. All things are created by him and in one, for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn of the dead, and in all things do not have sin. For it pleased the Father that in him he should have all things, that he should all things. This goes back to the fact of the now, verse 16, we had one of these guys knocking the door. I had this very first time I had a nice joke with this knocking the door. This is the passage they used to try to get the door. They used verse 15. They used verse 15. It says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of other things. They said, look, look right there. It says, the firstborn of other things. Well, of course, you know, he's mentioning that. This is talking about man. He is the firstborn. He is pretending. He is above all. The last reference to that is found in Psalm 89. So if you ever have a Jehovah's Witness try to use a church name, take them to Psalm 89 and turn over to my. I would take them right there to my. In fact, I do. I have a gift in my Bible. I have that verse. That's Psalm 89, verse 27. Psalm 89, verse 27. So here's where we see a good reference to the sense of the word firstborn. It's not the same name. It's talking about being born, physically born. Look at verse 27 of Psalm 89. It says, also I will make him, we're talking about King David. It says, I will make King David my what? Firstborn. Higher than the kings of the earth. Is David the firstborn? Jesse? No, he's the youngest. He wasn't the first one. We're talking about David. We're talking about his strength. He will be above all these things. So when you see this in Colossians and Paul is writing, he's not talking about Jesus Christ in terms of being born. But he was in age. That's what they're trying to say. They just simply saying that they put Jesus on a level of being in age. But he is simply another creature that's been front over here, the exaltation of this chapter 2, you see the repudiation of these pious counterfeiters, and where Paul is addressing these counterfeiters, and we don't have a lot of time, so let's look at just a couple of times. Look at verse 3, chapter 2, verse 3. In whom are hid all the treasures and of the wisdom and knowledge. Talking about Christ. Right? So the last word of the verse 2 is Christ. Christ in Christ has hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This I say, let any man can value with enticing words, and though I be absent from flesh, am I with you in the spirit, joy, and holding to the order, and the best actions of your faith and power. As you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so what? Walk ye in him. Again, Christianity is Christ. Rooted and built up in him, and established in faith, and in faith or reverence. It says thus, right, verse 7? Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith. Body of truth, this body of truth, family of life. Rooted in it, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving, beware lest any man spoil you, rob you of true philosophy, of vain deceit, after the wisdom of men, after the rudeness of the world, and not after Christ. And this is a great passage. For in him, Christ, what of all the fullness of the Godhead of God. Chapter 3. Chapter 3, we see the exaltation of preaching. Again, realizing that Christians should practice what we preach. We should practice the life. In other words, we should live out the Christian life, that we should live every day with heaven in mind. Verses 1 through 4, chapter 3, tell us about that. We should live with heaven in mind. Live with eternity in view. And because of time, look at the cross. In everyday life, chapter 3, verse 5 through 17, because we are Christians, because of Christ, and what we have done, we should put off the old man. We should put off fornication, and things that they only accept as evil, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, anger, and wrath, and malice, and blasphemy, and sexual communication, and lies. Everything we should put off as a Christian. And we should put on vows and virtues. They're talking about deep feelings and not giving those others what they deserve. Kindness and humbleness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearance, putting up with people. Forgiveness. By the way, Christ forgave you. People sometimes be authentic. People sometimes get to you. Even church people. We should be forgiven. And then charity, love and action. We should, as Christians, we should act like Christians. We should be Christians in the home. We should be Christians in the workplace. We should be Christians in our relationships and prayer. We should be Christians in our witness and in our speech. Be careful what we say around that. Especially what we say around non-Christians. Hello? The unsaved are watching. We ought to be careful what we say. And then the rest of them, we're dealing with a waste. Can you think about that? You think about that waste of time, right? That's where we ought to think of it. So we ought to be kind. Well, my food is cold. But this is when you should be kind. You know, I don't want you to be kind. But that's what it is. No, we should be kind. We should think about that. We should be able to leave a track at the end of our visit forever. And having that gracious or great work. Having good experience dealing with that. Now, I don't even understand because I think that even preachers, my dad and I discussed the things a while back during the April sometimes, and I'm not very pleasant to the relationship. I was a kid when I was not my dad, my dad. He was a kid. I want to clarify that. But we ought to be kind. In other words, again, we ought to practice. We ought to practice Christianity. We should live Christianity. We should live out Christianity every day. Every day. Not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, but every day. It should come to mind when we're expecting. But when you see someone coming to ask a question, it should come to mind that maybe that person is lost and they need to be right. What is it? What is it? We ought to be worthy again concerning our fellow believers and live out of Christianity. Not just again, as a parent, you ought to live out of Christianity. As a parent, as a spouse, you ought to live out of Christianity. have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.